is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. One more time. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. Bump your neighbor in the ribs and say, it's true. Bump your other neighbor in the ribs and say, I meant it. Come on, are you here? Let's rejoice a little bit, shall we? Jesus, we love you. You are good. How many know He is good? Three of you. How many know He is good? And His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. You may be seated. This morning, we're going to continue on the theme of... Oh, come on, you guys. We're going to continue on the theme of... Listen. I am being deliberately and purposefully redundant on this subject. I feel, not from you per se, but I can feel the resistance every time I deal with this subject. And I know it opens up some so-called cans of worms for people because we begin to challenge the devil's territory when we learn to walk the way that God designed us to walk. One of four different scriptures, along with Habakkuk, Hebrews, and others, Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, for the just, are you here this morning? For the just shall live by faith. I've asked this every week now for 2 months. How many just do we have in here? That means righteous. Then that means that God has designed you to walk on a supernatural level called the walk of faith. Paul told young Timothy that he was to fight the good fight of faith. And in so doing, he would lay hold of eternal things in this life. How many know that Jesus is our healer? How many know that Jesus is our... You're a quiet bunch this morning, but we're going to get you going. Here we go. How many know that Jesus is our provider? Yes. Let's back up a little bit and say it correctly. Jesus is my healing. Amen. Let's get it home. He is my healing right now. Come on. He is my provision right now. He is my peace right now. He is my all in all. How many are glad for Jesus today? Three of you. How many are glad for Jesus today? This is what this is all about. The just shall live by faith. Now here's the thing. Back in the 70s, there was a man by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin. I've referenced him before, and I've watched people roll their eyes and walk out the doors when I referenced Brother Hagin in a positive way. And there's so much misinformation. I even have to be careful in certain circles to say that I'm a graduate of Rhema Bible Training Center, 1983, right? There are certain people that they won't even listen to the rest of what you have to say when they find out you're a Rhema graduate. Because how many know that God comes along and He delivers a word to a man? And then people take that man and elevate him to a place he doesn't belong. And when man is elevated, it's not Brother Hagin's fault. And Brother Hagin never claimed to be perfect. In fact, he cautioned people to not look at Brother Hagin. But movements kind of can take on a life of their own. And the minute that people begin to elevate a man, God, we don't care about your way. We want a king. And God honored their belligerence and gave them Saul. Are you here today? The thing is, though, is when man elevates man, sooner or later you're going to be off over into one ditch or the other. But it does not take away from a truth. He said that the Lord told him, go teach my people faith. Now you can, I'm not here to bring any glory to Brother Hagin, nor would he want us to. I'm here to tell you straight up that there were a lot of people that ascribed to a lot of what he taught and turned it into something that it was not. And there became branches, groups that branched off and laid claim. Anyway, the point is that in all that men do, how many ever heard of the Baptist Church? How many are aware of the many schisms of the different forms of Baptist? How many ever heard of the Pentecostals? How many know that there is varied? I mean, there are hundreds of groups. There are all kinds of groups that started out. How many ever heard of Calvary Chapel? How many ever heard of the Vineyard? I'm not picking on any of these people. The Vineyard Church. How many ever heard of the Church of the Nazarene? My background, the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church. Somebody got a hold. Martin Luther, the Lutheran Church, got a hold of a truth that transformed the world. But how many know that he was a man? And where man is involved, there are going to be some problems. But it doesn't take away from the truth that the just shall live by faith. So today I want to, and again, I'm being very deliberately redundant, because I believe that the enemy will work overtime to stop this part of the life of any believer. And he's done a pretty good job in the body of Christ, because anytime you mention word of faith, you see the, you know, and I cowboyed for years, among other places in the U.S., both out here in the West, and in Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, Idaho. One of the places I spent a number of years was in Central Florida. Worked 7 years on the DS Ranch. And one of the things that was fascinating to me were the alligators. And they got two sets of eyes, eye covers, if you would, or lids. They've got their outside lid that is obvious that we would see. But there's another one that goes over when they go underwater. Their eyes are still open. They can still see, but it's a form of shield. It's like a shield. And I've watched people, when I mentioned anything about faith or speaking the word of God or confession or Brother Hagin or Rhema Bible Training Center or any of those things, I've watched the eyes still open, but I've watched the inner eyelid just close down over as they smiled and were looking at you, but they weren't hearing a thing you had to say. I want to remind you, I want to just be open with you about a few things. Here's the deal. The message of grace. Now, those of you that have been here with us, this is all rehash. Listen, not everybody here has heard what you've heard. So this is your opportunity to pray for me, to pray for those around you, as we stretch in our own knowledge of the Word of God, and as we pray for a breakthrough, because God has designed the believer to live supernaturally by faith. Are you here? Now here's the thing. Because of all of the different excesses, because of all the different extremes, because of all of that, the body of Christ, in large part now, anytime we hear about anything along these lines, we just kind of push that aside. But I want to take us back to the Word of God. And I want to really draw on. We've danced around the edges, and I want to start. We don't have a lot of time this morning, and I'm going to try to do a little less preaching, a little more teaching. We can pick up next week. But I want to really hone in on the words of your mouth. One of the things that transformed our church, transformed many people's lives here, and has made all of the difference in my personal walk with God and taken a lot of the stress away, was what now many are jumping on the bandwagon to criticize as well. There's always got to be the Holy Spirit cops, and they know better than everybody else, and they're the ones whose job is to keep everything in balance. And balance has become their god, their idol, as they're afraid to do anything to make sure they're in this so-called center. And it's amazing how that fear, justified by religion, will keep the power of God from functioning, because we're afraid somebody's going to get out of control. How many would just like to see somebody get out of control once in a while? I am just absolutely up to here nauseated with these pompous brats in preacher suits declaring that they have found the balance. I'd like to reintroduce them to Jesus, who spit in the ground and made spittle and put it in a blind man's eyes. Who took and built a whip and drove with righteous anger money changers out of the temple. A very prophetic sign. I don't have time to get into that right now. But I'd like to introduce them to Paul and a few other people. We've become sissies. Can you help me out a little bit this morning? We have become, in the body of Christ, many of us have become sissies. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about some other church. We become very, very petty. We hear one little thing we don't like. We've got churches from many flavors, and we can all run to the church where we can hide. And it's a shame, because you don't grow that way. Somewhere along the lines, we need to realize, and sometimes nations don't learn, and they implode, and then revival happens. I was in Cuba in the 80s and 90s when men were being killed and imprisoned, their families being tortured, and I mean, stuff you cannot even imagine. I quit going, because every time I would go, these precious men who invited me, arranged for me to be in their underground churches, I'd go and preach, and I'd later find out they'd never tell me. But because I was there, the government of Cuba found out they had guys on me tails. I used to watch them. And they would, the one brother, Eliseo and his wife, after I had left, within a few days, the military tried to run them off the road and kill them. Bobby still has burns all up her arm from the muffler where the car rolled down over a cliff. Supernaturally, they were not killed, them and their little boy. Eliseo was a former Cuban guard, atheist, who received Jesus in a little underground church, got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and said, if the Bible says he's the same, then I believe he's the same. And listen, revival broke out in the underground church. I got to witness it. I watched as the names and denominations fell off the doors, and Baptists and Pentecostals and Presbyterians and Lutherans all gathered together en masse in underground services where they would... Well, I remember one time I was wore out coming back from the center, Camagüey, Cuba, all the way back to Havana. And I was tired and I was exhausted, and I was the one who was supposed to be preaching. And I thought, whew, I'm glad. I'm wore out. We've been going for 15 days. And I thought that we had a breakdown on the bus, and I knew there's no way we're going to get there at 9:30. The service will already been over. I'm so glad. I'm so relieved. I don't have to preach now. They'd already been going 2.5 hours. We arrived at that little place, underground service. They led us back through different corridors, stepped into a room about this size, jam-packed full of people, where they were still worshiping. When I walked in, I thought, whew, this will be cool. We get to end the service, cheer them up a little bit, and go home. Oh, no, 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 no. The worship cranked again. They said, oh, no, we've been waiting on you. Let's go. At 11:30, we walked out of there. Hunger for God. Nothing else left for them. But living by faith. I saw a lot of supernatural stuff. How many know that God is no respecter of persons? And he wants to demonstrate his supernatural ability to provide, his supernatural ability to move in your behalf and to move through you for somebody else's behalf, right here in Chino, as much as he does in Camagüey, Cuba. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good already. All right? This deal of faith, the message of grace changed my life. The worst thing that I would ever want to happen is that as we talk about the words of your mouth, is that we turn this back into what it became for many of us, a legalistic. You get what you say. In fact, I want to announce right here, just because you say something doesn't mean you get it. Positive or negative. Just because you mouth a few words, that scared me to death, does not mean you're going to be scared and going to die. This is where this got weird. You know what I'm saying? Just because you said, but listen, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And there are words, and then there are words. I'm so glad, let me go back and pick up where I left off a little bit ago. I'm so glad for the grace message. I started to say a little bit ago, and it now has come under criticism. Hyper grace. You can do whatever you want. You know, you can live however you want, and everything's okay. And on and on, and you hear all the criticism, and now the grace. I'm so glad today that I don't ever have to doubt again that my faith in Jesus was enough. That he loves me right now as his child. He may not approve of or like everything I do. My little children, I write unto you, that you sin not. But if you sin, you have an advocate. Woo! With the Father. His name is Jesus. And every day, there's not one hitch or doubt that he loves me completely, fully, and eternally. And that will never change. There was a time when I was taught in the faith camp, listen, a lot of what I learned at Rhema in life process, I had to unlearn. Men teaching men, there are going to be some problems. But it does not take away from the central truths and doctrines that Jesus said, if you want to live the life that I've called you to live, the supernatural life, here it is. And you don't need a degree to understand. I'm glad for Jesus today. I'm glad that because of grace now, I can go back and approach faith. I can approach laws. That is, systems that God, because of love for us, he has set up that if we will cooperate, there's an easy flow. Not the law. For I no longer relate to my Father or to the Son through the law. I relate to them now by faith. I believe that when he said it was finished, that was for me personally as well. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Now here's the deal. I don't have a lot of time left. I'm going to barely get started. I understand that. So I'm going to discipline myself. Can you give me till about 20 till? And then we'll just cut off abruptly right there. Can we do that? Okay, I'll do my best. You work with me. We'll try and get this done. Because I had an hour's message this morning, easy, and I don't have that time. But anyway, we're here now, so let's move forward. Now, here's the deal. Have you ever heard this before? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And everybody turn, I've heard a few of you already say it in here, can you turn to your neighbor and say, that's a lie? It's a big lie. We have people in this room that you still live today. You don't even know it. And I believe that as we move forward in this, the Spirit of God through his word is going to deliver you. Or you still suffer over one phrase that somebody that you loved or meant a lot to you or that you respected or looked up to, they looked at you and they declared something and you still live captive to one phrase. I've watched young prisoners hit their knees and weep as the revelation of God came to them when they realized that they were in prison. Some of them for a lifetime, because an uncle said, you'll never amount to anything. Our family always was garbage. You'll never be anything more than garbage. You're going to wind up in prison, so why even try? I watched as, although they were physically imprisoned, their jail cell was opened as they stepped into a whole new life. Because words were broken. I think it's a demonic ploy that right now, no matter where I go, any city, any church, the minute that I mention word of faith or the power of our words, the bulk of the people there turn me off. The alligator eyelids come over. Talk to us about something else. But we've seen that. We've heard that. And we don't want to hear it anymore. I believe, not because I believe, but because the Word of God declares. I want you to take, in just a few moments that we have, we've looked at the Scripture a number of times, but I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. People, I do not believe, as I said, I do not believe that just because you say something a few times, and this is where a lot of this stuff got weird, that it's going to be so. But I believe that there is a lifestyle of the believer that as we ingest the Word of God and meditate in the Word of God, and the Word of God begins to replace wrong thinking. Are you with me? And it begins to replace the seed of our belief that it should have, if we're truly embracing it, should have an effect on what is coming out of our mouths. Are you here? And also, it kind of works. It's kind of a reciprocating type of a setup that God has said, because the Scripture also speaks of speaking something even before we totally grasp it or understand it. I remember taking hold of a little phrase that I had heard 4 years of age from my mama. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting. It is not possible for a four-year-old to grasp all that that means. But I heard words that caused something inside me to jump. And at 4 years of age, I said, Mama, I want to pray. I want Jesus. 4 years old. Changed my life. And I mouthed the words that wouldn't catch up till way later. But words that were faith-filled based on the Word of God. So there is a place for mouthing and speaking and declaring things that you may not grasp. I don't know if we'll ever grasp. Paul put it this way. He said, this thing that I don't quite have a hold of has got a hold of me. Philippians 3, speaking of the grace of God, he said, I don't quite have a hold of, but it has a hold of me. I haven't yet attained, but this I know. How many love Jesus today? Woo, it's good to be free in Jesus. Hebrews. Chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, starting with verse 1, in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. 3, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. How many know Jesus came to reveal the Father? That means that there was a time in the Old Testament when they did not understand who he was. And upholding all things by the word of his power. Notice it doesn't say the power of his word. How many know that you saying something a lot is not going to get you something just because you're saying it? There's a reason why the Holy Spirit found to state it this way. It is the power of his world. We know that the worlds were framed by the Word. Everybody say it with me. Word of God. Word of God. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. I won't have time today. We'll look at it next week. But we're leading. Medical science has shown right now. They're in amazement. And they keep looking for another answer because it all points to a designer and to a creator. But right now they're looking at the way the brain works and the way the body responds, and they're finding out that the words of our mouth literally have a physical effect in nerves and in tissue in the brain. They don't understand it. It's the way God designed it. Everybody say words. See, here it says by the word of his power. It's not a lot of words to get power. There is a power that comes from God that produces words that speak that which is not seen and call it into the seen realm. You think that's crazy? You better check out the Word of God. Amen? Are you here today? Our words are important. Let me just toss a little flurry at you here. Turn to Proverbs 18:21. Now, most of us Bible thumpers and faith people have heard this till we can quote it, but I want you to just hear it one more time. Proverbs 18:21 says this, that death and life, I hope that you're writing these down and looking at them. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat its fruit. The verse before is very interesting because many of us, because of a legalistic faith atmosphere from a few years ago and some of the excesses, have ignored the verse before, which is a totally positive verse about what we're talking about. It says this, verse 20, look at it. It says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied. How many are interested in being satisfied? Come on. Satisfied. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth and from the produce of his lips shall he be filled. How many are interested in being filled? How many have a void in you? We got any single women in the place? You got a void. You'd like to find a godly man. In this world, it seems like an impossibility. But if you will trust God and stop seeking the world's way and start speaking some things forward and believing and trusting him that he supplies your every need. Are you here today? But it starts right here. Faith is voice activated. You got a need in your life? No matter what it is, how many know Jesus is the answer? Don't shout me down. Come on. Jesus is the answer. Woo! He is the answer. The Bible says that from the produce of our lips, we will be filled. That's powerful stuff. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Even in the old covenant, God dealing with a precious man named Joshua. He was a warrior saint. Even under the old system, God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I may know that there are certain things that have not changed from old to new, and that is that God honors faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, faith pleases him. Now, how many know that because of Jesus, he's pleased with us, period. Whether we're failing at faith or excelling at faith, because of our faith in the blood, that was enough. And that faith pleases him. We are accepted in the beloved. Say with me, I'm highly favored, very much loved of the Father. And that will never change. But how many know we can live knowing he loves us, but struggling in life, but there is a way to not always get your tail whipped. How many know we're going to always have a fight at hand. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. But Paul also said that our victory was found in walking by faith. Amen? So we better find out what that means. So the words of our mouth, say the words of our mouth are very, very, very important. Last week, if I can tie last week together with this week, and I want to do this very briefly, I drew a picture of how we live in God. Everybody say with me, prayer. And praise. How many know that that is vital to your walk with God? Amen. But how many of you have met Christians that all they did was walk around floating about a foot off the ground praying in other tongues, but they were dingy, had no common sense, always in trouble, always spiritual, but seemed to always be in trouble? A whole lot of prayer and praise, but not much knowledge of the Word. How many ever been on the other side and knew somebody that they were hard as iron? Well, bless God, brother, the Word says. You're there suffering, struggling. You need a gentle hand. You don't need somebody yelling at you. I mean, Pastor Lee just did that for a whole hour. Now you're hurting, and you're trying to... I'm kidding. I never yell at you, do I? But here's the deal. And bless God, the Word of God says, and if you'd obey the Word, if you do the Word, then... And they're just hard. They've taken a new covenant grace theme and turned it around into another law. And they hurt people with it. They take the sword, which was intended to do battle in the spirit realm, and they turn it on each other. Somebody said the body of Christ is the only army that kills its own wounded. Get your eyes off each other. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Use your sword in the direction that it's supposed to. Several weeks we talked about know who your enemy is. How many know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. Ephesians 6 says, having done all to stand, stand therefore armed with the Word of God. Paraphrase, Lee Shaw. All right? So here's the deal. So, this thing... Jesus speaking to a woman who was in a mess. John chapter 4, and I won't go into the whole story because I don't have time. You can read your Bible. You should be reading your Bible. John chapter 4, verse 24, he makes the statement to her and he says, God is a spirit. Another translation says, God is spirit, and they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. How many know there is a perfect balance, a perfect equilibrium between spirit and truth? I'll try this side. How many over here know that there is a perfect balance between spirit and truth? Amen. We need to know the Word of God, but we need to understand. Listen, prayer and praise is like breathing for the believer. We said this last week, and I'm going to repeat it for those who weren't here. We need that worship. Psalms 18, David saying, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. He speaks of a high tower, a buckler, a shield, right on down the line. And then he says in verse 3, he says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved. That has rose up like a fortress on the inside of me over and over again in my life. Recently, thank God for His Word that never changes. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now here's the thing. There is this thing of worship. But we also have to know what His will is, and His Word is His will. Many people who worship every Sunday, most Christians, I would probably say, could not show you more than 5 verses in the Bible. A few of them could paraphrase a few verses, but they couldn't tell you where they're at. The average Christian can quote to you 1 or 2 scriptures. Say, we're not that way. Come on, all over the place. Come on, we're not that way. The Word of God is my life. Now here's the thing. Prayer and praise is like breathing. But listen, the Word of God is what you feed on. Amen. And I don't care how much you breathe, if you're not eating, the breathing will soon stop. Find out what the Word of God says about your situation. Get it down. Now, I realize that what I'm saying right now is very elementary for most of you, but yet be careful, because not so much. Now, here's the deal. We all, whoo, yes, the Word of God. Yes, brother, that's good. I remember several years ago, almost brought it with me this morning. I've got a Paul Goldschmidt from the Diamondbacks bobblehead. I got several bobbleheads. You can take it. I wanted to bring it this morning. I thought, man, that's a collector's item. If something happens or I forget about it or the kids get it, I decide to leave it behind. But I have my Paul on my desk in my office at home. I have a Paul Goldschmidt bobblehead. Now, I can take that bobblehead and I can talk to Goldschmidt right there and I can say something and make him agree. Now, this other stuff, Paul, now you know all that's wrong, right? Now, would you believe that stuff if I can make him say no. I can make him say, and I can sit in here and preach, and I can convince, and I can talk, and under the anointing and the gifting that comes, all of us have giftings, all of us have anointings. Mine is right here, my primary thing. And in this setting, I can say things that your spirit man, knowing it's true from the Word of God, will leap on the inside of you. And you'll sit there and say, yes. But there's one thing that bobblehead can't do. It can't speak. You know why? Because it takes life. Don't let this go over your head this morning. It takes life inside that bobblehead for it to speak, and it's not capable of life. When you have life on the inside of you, you cease to be a bobblehead. And as a believer, something ought to supernaturally come out of you more than just somebody making you agree. And when the Word of God begins to be yours, you've heard me say it over and over and over again. You listening to me take a shower won't get you clean. I can show you the shower, I can point you to the bar of soap and the shampoo, but you got to get in it. And I'm here to tell you that there's a way to get in it, and it has everything to do with your mouth. Can you take that from a grace preacher today? Our words. The enemy will do everything he can to inundate you with discouragement and moods and cloudiness. He's trying to get to come out of you. God, what's the use? He's trying to get out of you. Well, maybe there's another way. He's trying to force you to find another option than walking by faith. But I want you to shout it out this morning. I, who am the just before God, by faith in the blood, walk by faith. I regret that I said 20 till. Well, I'm looking at that. Turn around, look at that. That's what I'm looking at. So if yours says different, I'm looking at that one. That's true, right? I don't want to wear you out. We've got next week. Okay? Word of His power. There is a word that emanates from the power of God that is different from any other word that can be spoken. And any believer from babe, Psalms 1:8 says that out of the mouth of babes, God makes supernatural declaration. You do not need a Bible school diploma or any other diploma. Dare to believe. Young couples, their marriages start falling apart. And they don't know any better because they've always watched it. They immediately go to mama and tell how bad it is. And they go to somebody else and they're on Facebook. And words are all over the place that are adding and bringing destruction. If they'd learn to say, no, I'm not going that direction. We've got to learn that there is a fight of faith. Are you going to fight? Or are you going to run? Mark Hankins, a guy who I love. I pull a lot from his stuff. Love the man. And he's a man who walks in this. He doesn't just preach it. He has a message called Never Run at Your Giant with Your Mouth Shut. And he talks how that David opened his mouth and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who challenges the armies of God? You've said what you're going to do. Now let me tell you what I'm going to do in the name of the Lord of hosts. He didn't just run out there hoping with a sling. He spoke some things and walked in the authority of that spoken word. And an impossibility was brought to the ground. Jesus said, if you got a mountain, talk to it. People have made fun of that. I'm tired of it being made fun of. Open your mouth and talk to your mountain on Tuesday afternoon when you feel like open your mouth. Oh, that'll sound kind of weird on the tape, won't it? You're going to fight or run? I challenge, I believe we got people in here that little by little, each week as you've heard a little bit more and frustrated that I didn't get farther, but I'm not going to just skip through this and get to another subject because the just shall live by faith. I believe there are people that are going to get a hold of this in here that are going to see breakthrough in Jesus' name. You're already seeing some breakthrough. It's right there. And as we preach under the anointing, I'm thankful Paul declared by the Spirit of God that it is by the foolishness of preaching that supernatural truths that change lives come through. And I don't care if it's a little church or a big church. If we'll speak the word of God and you get a hold of it, it'll transform your life. Amen. Are you going to fight or run? I declare in Jesus' name, we don't have any runners in here. Old John and Bubba, they were out bear hunting. Woke up one morning, went out to the campfire. Bubba looked up and there's a bear off at the end of their clearing. The posture was not good. He was coming on. Big grizzly. Old Bubba turned to John. He said, what are you doing? John's down there pulling off his boots and putting on his tennis shoes. He said, man, you're crazy. You can't outrun a grizzly. He said, I don't have to. All I got to do is outrun you. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but it was fun. We're challenged to fight the good fight of faith. Next week, we're going to climb into this thing, and I'm going to show you in Scripture where as you begin to set your mouth aright. Listen, we've talked about it. We've danced around it. We've referenced it. But as we move through this, I want some of you for the first time to forget about what you heard from Hagin and Copeland and from Hayes and from all this. Just stop. Let's listen to what Jesus says. Jesus, how much faith do you need, by the way, as we go, parting shot? Will you give me a parting shot? Here's the parting shot. How much faith do you need? Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say, and it would be enough to move mountains. The devil's made this hard. God has a way. Thank God for grace that it doesn't have to be difficult. What we really believe comes out when we are in our darkest times of duress. I believe that you, like my wife, a number of years ago when I was laying face down with a compound fracture, bone out through the inside of my femur, of the femur bone out through the inside of my leg, through the inside of my jeans. Listen to me. We didn't know it through the main artery and the main vein. I was supposed to be dead in less than 1 minute. They do not understand why I am alive, let alone why I've got a leg. And I'm thankful for a wife who in the darkest time of duress and in a time of extreme darkness, she began to jump up and down, spin around in a circle and say, Jesus, Jesus. I could hear her praying in other tongues. Jesus, Jesus. Instead of, oh my God, oh my God. Oh, there's a big difference between the two. 6 hours without blood flow. Code blue 3 times in the ambulance. God spoke to her out of Psalms 40 verses 1 and 2. So I think it's 41. So I had to look at it with you. She knows better than I do. 40, I think it's 41, 1 and 2. 1 through 3. Said that he would make me as if I'd never had a problem. Listen, she got a hold of that and spoke it in the face of impossibility. The Word of God works for you. Don't miss next week. Please don't let stuff get in the way. It's hard to keep things rolled up. But I'm not up here just to have a cute sermon. I want to see people get a hold of this faith thing and begin to be people who walk in the promise. And that is, I'm more than a conqueror. That little addendum made me a liar. And for that, I apologize. Thank God for His grace. It's a quarter till. Yes, Sally Bates.
This is, I just went to visit a friend of mine. He's been a powerful man of God for years. He's in the hospital, broke his back for the 4th time. And I went down there and was visiting with him. And he's been, because of the drugs, he's been having hallucinations, but God's been showing him some things, and he's had his own soul fears to deal with. But this is what he said to me. He said, Sally, I've got to go home and learn the word, because I have found out this time that what I have to battle the enemy with is the word of God, and I don't have enough of it to speak it. All I can do is speak 2 or 3 verses that I remember. This man's been preaching the gospel for years.
Wow.
But he could only call up a couple of verses. And he said, I'm going home and I've determined that when I speak, I have to speak the word of God. So I just wanted to verify that. This is so real. And it was so real to him. He said the only way he got the enemy to leave him alone was when he started speaking the word. And he said, even though I could only call up 2 verses, it worked. But he said, I'm going home and I'm going to get my ammunition bag loaded up.
Yes. Amen. There you go. Stand to your feet today. How many know what Philippians 4:13 says? Okay, you guys, we're in a grace church. There's no condemnation. Relax. We're good. But is it okay if we challenge you? Philippians 4:13. How many know what it says? You can cheat. Look at your Bible. What's it say, Terry? Oh, man, come on, brother. That's a Gideon right there, taking the Bible around the world. I can do all things. I don't know how I'm going to make it. There's a way. I can do all things. Come on, lift up your hands all over the room. Look heavenward. Say it with me. Jesus, I thank you that your promise to me is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A few verses later, Spirit of God pipes up and says, that was good, but it wasn't complete. Let me complete it for you. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. You got a need today? I want to show you a supernatural way to walk. No, it doesn't happen overnight. No, it doesn't happen because you get mad and say a few things, good or bad. But there is a way of faith in which heart belief produces the word of His power versus words attempting to make power happen. Father, I thank you today for your people. I thank you, alcohol, prescription drugs, pornography, anger, don't rule my life. Depression. Don't you let the devil do that. Somebody's, just because I mentioned that, you're suddenly delving into, oh my God, I would have got, stop. Right now, lift your hands. The only thing you got left to do is to worship him and thank him for love that is abounding towards you already before you ever even opened your mouth. How he loves you. Do you understand that faith that responds to undeserved love moved worlds? I'm mentioning those things because in Jesus' name, I believe that as the word of his power gets down on the inside of you, those things cease to be what dictates your next step. Distrust, depression, codependence. I have to have a man on my arm to mean anything. About anything, it's a lie. You are complete in him, just like you are. Beautiful, called, beloved. Trust him, he supplies your needs. He has that somebody. Flip it around for the young man or the old man, whoever you are. Trust him. My God shall supply. You don't know another verse this week? Open up your mouth. I'll show you in scripture how that your words build a road. You ever see anybody building a road? Takes time. Every shovel, every move of that machinery, added material. Seems like it's never going to get done. And then one day, somebody swings the gates open and down you go through this beautiful black top with brand new lines and go, it's a miracle. Right now, your road may look like a mess. There may be gravel and dirt piled and blacktop piled and guys leaning on shovels, and it seemed like it's never going to get done. Keep your mouth right. Declare over your babies and your grandbabies, over your body. And when somebody comes and says, you're crazy, what are you saying with your mouth? That's not true. Say, oh, yes, it is. I'm building a road. It may not look like much right now, but someday faith is going to produce a road that the blessing of God will ride on into my life and through me to others. For the just, come on, are you ready to praise God? The just shall live by faith. Come on, let's give him glory. Woo, hallelujah. Say, I'm building a road. I'm building a road with my mouth. Jesus said, if you would say, would you say? Would you this week say? I gave you two verses. Don't forget them. Philippians 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 19. The first one says, I can do this. I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can open my mouth when it sounds crazy, looks crazy, and my heart is fainting. My mouth will declare the goodness of God. Why? Verse 19, for my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That was sermon number two. I finished the first one at 20 till. This was the second. How we love you, Lord. Oh, how we love you, Jesus. You did not leave us alone. But you gave us the sweet Holy Spirit. You said it's expedient for you that I go. It's needful that I get out of here because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And here's what He'll do. Here's what He'll do. He's going to bring to remembrance those things which I have spoken to you. You think I'm crazy? You been to a D-backs game lately? You been to a Cardinals game lately? That's crazy. This isn't crazy. This will change your life. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, God, be pleasing to you. The Spirit of God speaking to the New Testament church says, don't let any corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but let that which ministers grace to the hearers. Come on, are you here today? I'm not a loser. I'm not defeated. It may look like I'm down for the 8 count, but I'm building a road with my mouth. My God shall supply, Angie, all my needs according to His riches in glory. Come on. I'm ready to walk by faith. Then I need to shut up or I can go for another hour easy. Father, bless your people. This week, I thank you for strength. I thank you for supernatural word, words of prophecy that come out of nowhere, words that change, words that build a road upon which the blessing of God can be delivered to home. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week in Jesus. Altars are open as we continue to worship. If you came here with a need, don't leave without being prayed for. God bless you as you go. Have a wonderful week in Jesus. Amen.